honestly, my favorite one is to go back to like, what were the things that you were like obsessed with as a kid?
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
Like when you were 10, what could you not get enough of? What was the thing that you couldn't stop wearing, or, you know, the TV show that you couldn't stop watching or whatever, you know, like go back to when you were a kid and you were totally unencumbered by all these other expectations that we're talking about. The chances are very, very good that there's a strength buried there. And also like it still translates into your adult life.
I'm Sonia Statman, and you're listening to The Feminine Lens. Over the last 20 years, I've had the honor to work with thousands of women around the globe in self-development, in leadership, and in business. Being in the trenches with women has taught me that we have to stop seeing ourselves and the world through the patriarchal lens. I've spent my life helping women look through a new lens, a feminine lens, a lens that honors our innate worth and wisdom, a lens that empowers us with more wealth and freedom. The Feminine Lens is designed to challenge you. It will change what you think and what you know, but it will help you reclaim yourself. And that is the way we change the world. Ready? Let's do this.
Hi, and welcome back to The Feminine Lens. I'm so excited today because we are continuing our amazing topic on strengths and genius, and I have a special guest. This is Courtney Thomas, and I'm going to actually let her introduce herself. Courtney, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and just really grateful for the invitation, and especially on this topic. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Would you tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Courtney Thomas, and I help women find their own inner Dolly Parton. That's kind of my jam. Yeah. So I'm a self-discovery and body image coach, and through self-discovery work and coaching, I help women really see themselves so they can learn to trust themselves more deeply in all the choices that they're making for their bodies, for their lives, and for their businesses.
I love that. And I love that you include the body image in the process, right? I think so many coaching platforms, career platforms, business platforms, they leave the body out. And I feel like the body and how we feel about our body is such a key part to our confidence, to the way we present ourselves, to the way we show up in the world. So I love that you combine all of that together.
Yeah, it's huge. I think it's actually a foundational piece of it. Like I always say that your body and how you feel about your body, what you do with your body, it does not exist in a vacuum.
Yes.
All of that connects to absolutely everything about us, about who we are, who we want to be, how we live our lives. Like you said, how we show up at work for our families, our partners, our kids, the world at large. Like it is a huge, huge piece of everything. And to ignore that, I think, is a bit of a mistake because it is who we are. It's not a piece of who we are. Our body is definitely who we are.
I love that. On the topic that we're kind of exploring this month, you know, what I've really been talking about is how when we align our life, our career, our businesses, our fitness goals, right? Mm-hmm. Everything
sure.
with who we are innately and our natural strengths, our natural rhythms, our genius, that we have so much more ease in what we create. What's kind of your perspective around that?
Oh, God. It's so huge. And I'm just like you, that this is something that I'm sure you experience, you know, in your world and with clients and stuff, that, you know, getting to that piece of like, understanding ourselves and allowing and accepting, and then even like building and growing from that space and that foundation, that just changes everything. I know that when it is on both the body side of things and, you know, kind of life and career, in my experience in, you know, working with clients and just kind of talking to people, you know, and hearing stories, like when we're forcing, you know, that becomes more of a challenge. And I think that there is something so interesting about that, that a lot of times it is trying to force ourselves into what we perceive should be strengths,
yes.
you know, like what we should be good at, or, you know, how we should be showing up or whatever, versus what we're talking about, which is doing the work to understand what exists, what is, yes. You know, and if you lean into that and if you build on that, everything amplifies. And it also kind of, I always visualize it as like, you know, kind of like gears or, you know, like different stones moving and stuff. Like once you stop trying to like fit things into the wrong place, they start to unlock and move around and open doors. And, you know, it just, how we've gotten into this kind of habit of, you know, again, like kind of forcing stuff instead of seeing what's already good, what's already enough, you know, what is already great and building on that. It's kind of an odd thing, but yeah, definitely once you're able to, it changes everything.
It does. And, you know, Laura and I actually talked about this last week because we were exploring why do we have this tendency to look at what's wrong with us or what needs to be fixed or what's broken or what's not good enough or what's, you know, and we talked about it, you know, that sometimes it's biological, like biologically we're attuned to look at, you know, what we need to do to succeed and survive and thrive, right. And, you know, and it can be also systemic, right? The patriarchal influences definitely teach us that we're not good enough, that we should be more like a man, that we should be more like a white man, that we should be right. Fit in that top level of that 2% wherever they live. And, you know, it's so interesting to really unpack that for ourselves.
Oh, it is. It's so much. And, you know, like kind of talking about that, you know, background of fitness and body image and body work and stuff like that. What I find is really interesting is there's this whole, like you said, I think it's a societal thing. It's a cultural thing around everything is a chase to be better.
Yes.
And I get it that yes, there might be some biological element to that, but it has been so twisted and skewed and like turned into this predatory thing that like, but I just want to be a better me. Like, can't you just be a you?
Yeah.
Like it is a very challenging mindset to even see, and then definitely to break, like, because it is so powerful in our society and culture that like you have to constantly be out there trying to improve. Yes. And if you're not, then, you know, you're lazy or stupid or, you know, not worthy or, you know, mm-hmm. just not enough or whatever. And like, what a bunch of bunk, you know?
Completely. And, you know, it's exactly why, you know, my perspective on growth, right? Because you can look at it in business growth or personal development or, you know, whatever you're trying to grow. I always mm-hmm. look at it as a removal process, right? Because what we're taught is that it's an add-on process, add on more to do, more to be, more to think about, right? But I always see it's yes. actually removing whatever's in the way of not being who we automatically are like who we are meant to be, who we were born to be, our yes. innate worthiness. And when we remove all that, right, then we're actually free.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's so true. You know, and it's funny too, cause this is like another version of, you know, it's kind of trendy to talk about like, oh, simplifying and all this kind of stuff. But this piece of it gets missed, right? Yeah. Like, no, you should have more to-dos and your to-do list yeah. should be super long and you should always be producing instead of just being, you know, like, and it's funny because, you know, like you said, in lots of different contexts, but certainly, you know, in business and stuff like that, there's a lot of stuff that's around like focus and, you know, things like that. But at this, like, you know, in one hand, we're talking about, you know, simplify and focus on your strengths or, you know, what you're good at, or like you said, your zone of genius or whatever. But then on the other hand, you're getting all this other input about, no, but you have to be doing all the things and you have to be marketing in all the ways, or you have to be, you know, playing all the roles, or, you know, like all of this stuff. And I mean, yes, it's confusing and it's hard to sort through that, but I mean, yeah, we gotta like come back to basics. And yes. I absolutely love that. You know, like I talk about in my work, the framework that I use with clients in our coaching partnerships is uncover, unlearn, and unleash. Yes. And I really think this kind of speaks to that uncover piece of the process. Yes. You know, like let's just get down to ourselves. What is in us? Like you said, I love how you kind of talked about like what we're meant to do and what we're here for. And you know, that really is an inner thing, and it's like breaking it down to basics.
Yes. And you can't uncover without unlearning, right? So
yeah. That's oh, I know. Piece.
And then it, that unleashes us. I love that. It's a beautiful framework.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I've been trying to play around with sort of this removal process in my own life, right? Because I'll get this tendency to, you know, on automatic, add something else that I should do, right? I should work out more is an example, right? This is the fitness. I am so not a workout type of girl. Like, yep. I love movement. I love yoga and breathing and laying on the floor and working out my kinks and, you know, all that stuff. But I always have on this agenda where I'll be like, I need to exercise more. I need to work out more. I'm going to go walking. I'm going to go running. I'm going to join the gym. You know, there's all these things. And I started to look at, okay, actually, what could I remove to be more healthy, right? You know, well, I could remove watching TV at night and instead, you know, relax and stretch and move my body. I could remove the things I know inflame me that I'm eating, right? I could, you know, and so I think even in sort of all of these different things we don't think about, there's all these ways we can remove stuff to get to our ideal and to be who we are and who we want to be versus just more on the to-do list that we're stretching to do and function more. And then we over-function, then we over-deliver, then we're over, you know, accessing everything. And so, yeah, it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that something that goes along with that story that you shared, that you're kind of going through this experience, is the removal of expectations. That's a lot of really like sticky, uncomfortable, squishy, and yet really powerful stuff that I end up having, you know, going through with clients a lot and kind of having those conversations of like, but like, who's telling you that you have to work out more, that you have to go to the gym, that you have to walk or run or do anything other than, like you said, get in touch with your body, ask what it needs, do what it's asking, you know, like removal of expectations is a really big one. And that too is like a step, it's kind of a several step process, right? Of like, whoa, I didn't realize I was kind of upholding some sort of expectation. What are those? Name them, you know, where did they come from? Does this have a place? Do I need to modify it maybe a little bit to be more conducive to what I, you know, how I want to feel, things like that. But that can be a really, really powerful one, letting go of that.
So true. And it's amazing how invasive expectations are, right? Like they're woven through everything in these different and subtle ways. Yeah. And, you know, I know same, you know, with, I'm sure what you experience with your work, you know, with the women I've worked with, sometimes they're like, I don't have expectations. And then as you unpack it, right? Same in myself, as I unpack it, I'm like, oh, wait, no. There is a lot of expectations here that are woven through all these different areas of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And I'm same as you. Like I go through that all the time, you know, to where I'm like, no, I'm actually like really chill about this or really casual. And then all of a sudden I realize I'm like, no, I'm expecting myself to work a certain amount or have a certain amount of clients or make a certain amount of money or, you know, do a certain amount of activism work or, you know, like literally everything. And it's kind of this like sneaky, silent, unspoken thing until, like you said, you're like, oh wait, no, that was one right there. Didn't realize it, but that was, you know, that was a thing, a should, a have to, whatever.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, when I think about strengths, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've talked a little bit about this month so far is that there's this difference between innate strengths and learned strengths. Or if you read The Big Leap, it would be a zone of genius versus zone of excellence. So things you become good at are like your zone of excellence. They're learned traits, they're learned strengths, but they'll exhaust you over time. Whereas like your innate strengths are these things that you have built-in capacities for. And so you're able to really, you know, do them all the time without getting exhausted. And so, you know, I think it's interesting because I think so often we're leaning more into the, well, if you look at expectations, this is kind of my tie-in. You know, if you look at expectations, they're usually around learned strengths or perceived strengths we should have, right? But innate strengths, we don't really have any expectations on because we're already good at them, right? There's no expectations to be a different measurement because we're already excellent at them. So like, it's so interesting if we really start to step into our innate strengths, then we're able to actually let go of expectations because there's none to be had. I don't know. This is just something I'm exploring. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. I like that. I want to take that and think about that.
Unpack that.
Yeah. Cause I always kind of approach it with clients as like, you know, skills versus talents. Like you said, that's kind of the same thing. Like, what are your like God or universe or spirit given talents, right? You know, that, like you said, is the innate kind of piece of it. And what are the, you know, things that you've learned through school or whatever else, you know, those kind of things. And it is so true that what I find is like kind of, you know, the spin off of what you're saying around expectations is that there's also this piece around our innate strengths and, you know, just powers of our being that is maybe because it isn't measurable and there aren't any expectations, it doesn't get valued.
Yeah.
You know, like I had to push people so hard to name their strengths. They can name off 100 skills, but they can't name off any strengths. And it's so interesting. I love how you put it that like, there's no expectations. And in our world, our culture, whatever, we're so tied to an expectation, a measurement, data, performance, whatever. And if you can't like, you know, if your strength is relating to people, how do you measure relating to people?
Yeah.
And then you don't value that you're a person who's able to relate to people. And listen, not everybody can do that. So like, that's a really powerful strength to have. Like that's a different, like a difference maker in the world. You know, that's like, that's something to value. So yeah, there's like a weird connection around that for sure.
Yeah. I often find that our innate strengths are almost invisible because we do them so easily. We think that everyone does them easily, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It's, I think it's interesting. I've done a lot of work with people on core desires, what I call core desires.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that being kind of your life's impulse, right? So this thing you were always like drawn to from the time you're born and you will be to the time you die, right? It's like this core impulse. And what's interesting is they're very broad and non-measurable, right? So the people's sort of impulses that I've worked with, they're things like curiosity, right? As a gift and an impulse. And like, how do you measure curiosity, right? How do you, you know, make a measuring stick for that and be like, well, if you're this curious, that's a gift. If you're not this curious, that's not a gift, right? And I think so much of our innate strengths and our gifts and our wisdom, it is more intangible.
Yeah. Oh, and people love to hate things that are intangible.
You know, well, it's such a
challenge. You know, I think personally and professionally, there's like just something around that, that is like, so it's for me personally, like it can get super frustrating, but at the same time, like I just go ahead and challenge all of it. You know, like I get that. I do a lot of connecting and networking and, you know, stuff like that. And really like my work is really intangible and it isn't like this super specific niche of blah, 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 whatever. It's not results, you know, like I can't measure the results that my coaching clients get, but literally they can tell me and write, you know, 100 testimonials that are like, I got everything that I needed and more, but like, I can't tell you what that is, you know? So I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of intangible. And I'm like, when you know, you know. And it's funny because like, that's such a, that gets so much pushback, I don't know.
It's so true. I mean, all coaching is like that. I mean, I definitely know that for myself as well, you know, I've never marketed with numbers. Right.
Yeah, me either.
Because it's like, to me, the numbers, like, so someone started making a lot more money in their business. That is not a value to me. I mean, that's great. I want women to be wealthy, right? I want that. But the fact that they're more confident is far more on my value scale. The fact that they are willing to step out and to do what they really want to do. The fact that they're living in their genius. The fact that they're really owning their power. Like, those are the things that are phenomenal. But how do you measure that? Well, they came in and they were only using 20% of their power, but now they're using 80.
Yeah. I relate so much to you. And at the same time, like, I so believe in that, you know, like I don't care. I don't care to even try to put any energy toward measuring that because it just doesn't matter. Like the point is that people are, like you said, they're not only understanding more of the power of that zone of genius and their own strengths, they're identifying them, they're connecting with that. And then they're figuring out the ways and the actions and the hows of how they can align with that and bring it more into their life. And that looks different for everyone because guess what? Everybody's innate strengths are different.
Totally different.
So
I know. I love it. And so what are some of the ways that you have helped people, or like, what are some strategies that people can use to start to look at their strengths and genius and understand, you know, what they're really good at, what their natural energy responds to, what can be easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there is a lot to be said for just like slowing down and allowing and listening. That's really hard in the world that we live in. And, you know, it can sound kind of, you know, trite or whatever to encourage play and experimentation.
I love that.
But I very much encourage experimentation. Like just don't, and again, kind of going back to the don't attach any expectations to it, just like go out and do the things that call to you. You know, if you see, I don't know, like an online cooking class with a local guy, or, you know, some people doing some stuff in the park, or you see a bird and you're like, maybe I should start bird watching. Like just do all of that,
I love that,
you know, and see how it all feels, because the chances are that it probably does connect back to, you know, some, again, innate thing that is just a part of who you are and your being. And, you know, maybe journal around it. Maybe you like take a audio note on your phone or whatever, just to kind of process a little. And then you're like, wait a second, like, this is something that I love, also something that I'm good at, you know, or just naturally have an affinity for, or, you know, whatever. And I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing. A lot of times, how I, you know, sort of starts to do this work with clients is, you know, definitely like, yeah, start with the exercise of like, list your skills, list your talents, you know, things like that. But again, that's like a really big struggle for people. So a lot of times I ask them to like reflect on feedback that they've gotten previously, whether that is personally or professionally. Yeah. And then like, what's your favorite feedback that you've ever gotten? And many times it's so intangible, you know, it's like, well, somebody called me spunky. And I just love that, because I just felt like, you know, yes, like I'm the person who has like, you know, this unique, like buzzy energy, and like, okay, great. That's your strength, you know? So like kind of coming at it from like unexpected angles and just kind of different questions like that can sort of help, or like, you know, what are the things that make you smile? Mm. And, you know, like really listing those things. And sometimes you can sort of pull out common themes and threads of like, oh, actually this is like something that, again, is like an innate gift of mine to experience life in this way, or to experience experiences in this way, or, you know, things like that. You know, what makes you feel confident? What makes you feel good about yourself? Kind of listing those things. And honestly, my favorite one is to go back to like, what were the things that you were like obsessed with as a kid?
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
Like when you were 10, what could you not get enough of? What was the thing that you couldn't stop wearing, or, you know, the TV show that you couldn't stop watching, or whatever, you know, like go back to when you were a kid and you were totally unencumbered by all these other expectations that we're talking about. The chances are very, very good that there's a strength buried there. And also like, it still translates into your adult life. So like, go back to that and like, you know, connect the dots. And that can be a really, really cool thing.
Yes. I love that. And I have a lot of experiences of that, both in working with clients, but also in myself. Like, I think I was telling the story the other day. It could have been a podcast. I don't know. I can't remember. But I was talking about how, you know, when I was like, I had a job for about a year and a half. So I've owned my own business for 20 plus years, but there was a period of time where I had also a full-time job for a year and a half. And in it, I was like a marketing copywriter for a newspaper. And, you know, I was good at writing copy, right? That was one of my learned strengths in a way. And I was good at it. Didn't love it. Wasn't super fulfilling, but I was good at it. But what always ended up happening is everyone would end up in my office for a counseling session. I literally drove my boss insane. He was like, why is someone in your office again? And then people would be like messaging me on internal messaging systems, like, I had a fight with my boyfriend. Like, what do I do? You know, like I was always the resident counselor, even as a child, mm-hmm. right? People would always pour their stuff out, you know, out to me and, you know, in connection and want support and want advice and want perspectives. And so, you know, it's really funny because oftentimes, even if we have a career that is in our learned strengths, you'll notice that threads of your innate strengths still came through. They're so natural to you, though, that sometimes we don't know how to label them.
Yeah. Yep. And again, I think that definitely goes back to like also not valuing them, yeah. right? Because we're so covered up in the learned skills and strengths side of it. Like, oh, this is what's important. You know, we don't give any, you know, credibility to the underlying stuff that really is the foundation of, you know, why you're there at all and what you're doing, you know?
Yes, 100%. And I think, you know, it's also partly because we're so taught in the world that, you know, doing what we're good at takes a lot of work, right? It has to be a lot of effort. It has to be a lot of work. It has to be a lot of strength training. You know, like that's the masculine mm-hmm. kind of, you know, framework. And not to say that if we want something, we don't have to work for it. Or if we want something, we have to put some effort in for it. But I've just learned that if we aren't spending more time in our innate strengths, we're going to just end up in burnout and exhaustion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, and again, I think that goes to like kind of that piece of trying to like force the things that are not your strengths or whatever, you know, like you said, there's always going to probably be a certain level of, you know, having to do things that aren't your strongest thing or aren't the things that you love the most or, you know, whatever, in order to support the stuff that does. But like at the end of the day, the more that you have to put energy toward that stuff, instead of just like allowing the natural piece to happen, like, so I think that you get to burn out so much quicker and, you know, just questioning everything and being frustrated. And yeah, it's tough.
Is there any, do you have an experience or a memory of any time where you kind of took for granted your innate strengths? I'm putting you on the spot, but
yeah, no, I think there are experiences with that actually kind of like come and go throughout like my adulthood, you know, like I feel like, the times when that is most prevalent for me is like when I'm in a low, like mental, emotional space, you know, and it's usually when I'm like beating myself up about the learned skills side of it, right? Like yes. I'm not performing or I'm not, you know, blah, 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 according to whatever, somebody else's standards, culture at large, you know, society, business at large, whatever. When I get my head wrapped up in that, it's always someone else who reflects one like my natural strength back to me, to where they're just like, you know, I'll get like a random email reply from like my email list or something like that. And somebody will be like, oh my God, like this was everything. Like you're such an inspiration and like blah, 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 like all this stuff. And like, you're just so good at being you. Thank you for being in the world. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what you mean. Like I'm a wreck, you know, like I'm a total mess. I don't know what you're saying. But then, you know, like, it kind of comes in that package of like, whoa, 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 like this stuff doesn't matter as much. You know, that's the stuff that does. And oh, okay. So, you know, some of my strengths are, you know, basically like just showing up and being genuine, yes. you know, being really open, not being afraid to be vulnerable, not being afraid to draw a line in the sand, you know, stuff like that. Like I forget that I've been that person since I was like 6. And like unafraid to be that person that like a lot of people aren't, you know, like I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not, you know, like yeah. I don't think about that stuff. And so I get caught up in other crap and other people are reminding me like, hey, like that's actually like really kind of rare and valuable. And it's something that makes me think, you know, about my different strengths and, you know, whatever. So it comes and goes during those, for me, I would say my experience of kind of the highs and lows of entrepreneurship, if yeah. you will.
Yeah. We could talk about that all day, right? Like, you know, and I think so much of it is the measurements. It's the performance, right? That piece yeah. alone, it destroys the appreciation and worthiness of our innate strengths, because we're trying to perform to someone else's expectations, someone else's idea of what it should look like. We're not just like, you know, trying to be our best selves, right? We're trying to hit performance measurements, and they're unconscious, or conscious, either way. And definitely business brings up all these measurements. How much money are you making? How many clients do you have? You know, and there's all these ideas of what is the bar, you know, and it's funny because it's really, so I am personally hate the whole, like, I want to make $1 million. I want to make seven figures, right? Like all of those things. And it's because I've seen behind the scenes of plenty of $1 million businesses. Oftentimes, they're not even bringing home 50K a year. Yes. Like, you know, so it's all illusion, all BS. Where it was a 100K client I have might be bringing home all of that 100K. You know, so it's like there's such illusion out there. But I just think it's funny because having been in business for 20 years, you watch how the bar has raised, right? Like, first of all, for a decade, my first decade, nobody ever talked about money. You never, ever heard there being a measurement about money. And I think it was because, first of all, every industry would be different, right? You know, and every person has, you know, there would be much more talk about profit margin, or, you know, sort of how much money are you taking home, or are you paying yourself a salary, right? Now, then it became this, especially in the coaching industry, right? Then it became all about six figures. Like, it was like, to make six figures, 100K.
The magic number.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And 100K is not even very much if you have expenses.
Well, hello. Like, I was going to say expenses, taxes. Yes. Like, hello. Yes. I mean,
and then you have like six figures could be 100K or 900K. Well, that makes a big difference. And now the bar's a million. And then I just started rolling out. I just, because I get on LinkedIn, all these places, I get, you know, people pitching me like every day.
Over and over again.
Yes.
Cold pitch sales calls. What is with this?
I don't know. But then now it's $1 billion. That's the next step. Like everyone's talking about the $1 billion influencer and the billion. I'll make you $1 billion or join my $1 billion club. Just like, the bars keep raising. And we keep pinning ourselves against them instead of looking at, am I living my best life? Am I living my best self? Do I want to create more money because it suits me, because it will allow me to be more myself or allow me to have more impact? It's these measurements and these hoops that we keep jumping in, and the bar will always raise.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. I mean, I think the way that our world goes, I think you're absolutely right. And I know what I always remind myself to come back to, and, you know, I write about it a lot, I talk about it a lot, is like really getting so, so clear on what is your enough. And that means a lot of things. What is enough for you and how you feel in your body? What is enough for you in your relationships? What is enough for you financially? What is enough for, you know, you to find meaning in your life? Like you said, like, you know, what is your best version of yourself? It doesn't have to be measured against any external standard or anybody else. Like, you have to take that piece out of it. And that's really, really hard. That takes like a lot of extra work. And I am continually working on that. Like, I literally just like had like an hour dump with my therapist yesterday about this, that like really ultimately came down to what is enough in my world for my business, detaching from all this other crap and how I'm perceived and like blah, 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 like all this. So like, it's ongoing, but reminding yourself to come back to, wait a second, do I need $100,000 or am I happy where I'm at? What does our household look like, if that's relevant? Or, you know, again, like, what, how does this all connect to my well-being and how, you know, like enough sleep and enough energy and, you know, enough connection, like, there are many, many inputs, you know, and I just continually come back to that of like, I don't need more than I need.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's something that, like you said, the bar will always go up, but why, you know, like, what if you got critical about that and said, wait a second, like, actually, like, if I made about say 60,000, took home 40, like, you know, and my spouse has this and we have these investments, even just on the financial side of things, you know, but like, what if I took out that thing of having to make, you know, $200,000 and hustle and like lose sleep over it and not be able to spend time with my kids. And like, you know, like there's a really big picture about this.
Yes. And you know, I think if we just really decided what we wanted, got critical and clear about what that looks like.
Yes.
And then lived in our innate strengths to achieve those things.
Mm-hmm.
Our lives would be so much easier. Just saying.
You are so right. I mean, you could not be more right. what do you love? What do you feel good about? What do you need? And like, do that, do more of that.
Yes. Do way more of that. I love it. Oh, thank you. This has been such an awesome conversation. Anything you'd like to wrap up with or ask or, you know, say to the listeners before we wrap up today?
Oh no, I think this has been a really, like, I think there are lots of little nuggets and things to think about here for sure. And I just, have been happy to even just explore it between the two of us and like how fun that, you know, we get to invite other people into the conversation too.
I know. I love that part. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening and, you know, being part of our process. And I will see you all next week.
Thanks so much for listening to The Feminine Lens. If you're a woman in business and tired of trying to operate through the traditional patriarchal lens, check out my group program. You get the chance to apply these podcast topics to your life and business. You'll find coaching, support, and new perspectives on how to grow your business with more alignment and freedom. You'll be surrounded by amazing women and transform the way you feel about your value, your voice, and the gift you are bringing to the world. Just head over to soniastatman.com. All right, see you next week.